Stop and think. This is Dr. Herbert R. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Thought for Today. Stop and think. I have a very soft, lovely robe that I wear when it's cool out. And when I'm walking around the house, that would be a little more comfortable. And I put the robe on. Well, occasionally, my dog will come in the house, and I'll pet him and play with him, and I'll have my robe on. And he will bring into the house foxtails. These are the seed pods of certain weeds that are growing around here. And these foxtails have a way of finding their itself into all sorts of fabrics, into the dog's toes, and everywhere. Well, every morning, every evening, I check Rex's toes, and I check him all over to make sure that he doesn't have any foxtails that are wanting to remain with him and dig their way into his body, into his toes. Sometimes I find some, and I dig deep into his toes and pull them out, and he's very happy to have me do that. He's not too happy to have the comb go in there, but my fingers going in there, he doesn't mind that at all. Well, I get some foxtails into my wonderful terry cloth type robe. And as I look at it, I see the foxtail sticking out there at me and saying, ha 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 ha, I'm going to give you a tussle. And so I look at the foxtail and I say, you're not going to give me a tussle because I know what to do. And I look at him and I pull a little bit on him and he's hanging in for dear life and he doesn't want to let go at all. So I turn the terry coat jacket over. And on the other side, I see a tip of him sticking out. And I reach down, and I pull the tip of him, and he slides right out. He slides right out as easy as can be. He doesn't tear the fabric. He doesn't mess up anything. He just slides right out. We have our lives like that. When we go at the problems in the wrong way, we don't end up with a solution, we end up with more of a problem. If I tried to pull that foxtail out the wrong way, I would tear my fabric, I would mess up everything, I'd be irritated, I'd be unhappy, and quite likely the foxtail wouldn't even come out. He'd be caught in there and say, ha 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 ha, I've got you fooled, I've got you fooled, I'm here to stay. But no way. I'm craftier than a foxtail. I'm smarter than a foxtail. You know, life is like that. These problems that we have in life, they want to get caught in us, and they want to hang on. And they want to hang on, not because they want to hang on, but because it's the nature of the problem. It's the nature of the foxtail. The nature of the foxtail is to go in point first, that is, bottom first, and hang in there, and then nothing can pull it out because it's as though it has little hooks that keep it in there, like the Velcro. Very, very, very well designed, very well created, so that the seed will be carried around all over, and the foxtails will replant themselves all over the garden, all over the landscape. And this is how the problem is, too. It plants itself all over the landscape, and we say, what can we do to get rid of that problem? Well, what can I do to get rid of the foxtail? The first thing I do to get rid of the foxtail is to look at the foxtail and say, you don't belong here. And then I look around it and I see what is the smoothest way for me to remove the foxtail from my garment. And I say to myself, now, if I do it this way or this way or this way, now, I don't have to go through all those machinations of thinking, which way shall I remove the foxtail? All I do is use my normal intelligence, which came with me, and I know what it is. And I look at the foxtail, and I say, I'll go right to the point. And so I turn it over, and there it is with its little point sticking out. And it says, nobody's going to notice me. Nobody's going to notice this little point. But I do. And so I take my fingertips and I pull it out gently, lovingly, perfectly and put it in the trash. Problems in life are like that. They stick in there. They seem as though they're very permanent, as though they're setting up housekeeping and going to stay forever and ever. But as I look at a problem, I say, okay, do I want to concentrate on the problem of that foxtail in there, or do I want to concentrate on the solution of the foxtail out? So naturally I say to myself, I want to concentrate on the solution. I want that foxtail out of my jacket. And so I turn my jacket over and look around and see how the foxtail is ensconced in my jacket. And as I see him living there quite comfortably, I say to myself, well, okay, what is the best way to have him come out? Well, the best way is just to turn the jacket over and let him come sliding out. He's not holding on when he goes backwards. He only holds on when he comes forward. And so he slides out so easily, so perfectly, so beautifully. And I say, wow, that was easy. And I look around, any more here? Any more here? You know, I'm not confronted by that problem. I am delighted. And I look around and I say, hey, anybody else want to play the game? Let's look around here. And then I missed one. And I'm wearing my robe and my shoulder. I have a scratch on my shoulder. And I look at my shoulder and I say, what's this scratch all about? And then I look at my robe, and there's a foxtail with this little peekity peek sticking down, scratching my shoulder. And I say, I missed you. I'm sorry about that. And so I reached up there, turned my collar over a little bit, pulled him out, put him in the trash, say, bye-bye. And I go about my life untouched by the problem, untouched by the foxtail. He's no longer mine. He's no longer bothering me. He's no longer an irritation. Now, from time to time, the irritations are going to come along. Now, I cannot say I am going to live my life without foxtails. I cannot say I'm going to live my life without these problems that come along. But I am going to say I know the solution, and I handle the solution beautifully. Some people say they love life for its problems, and they love life for its game of solutions and stuff like that, because that's a joy. Well, okay. I would love my life, and as I do love my life, as a series of wonderful expressions of joy and happiness and goodness. My sister turned 84, 85 somewhere, and she's always been a very active lady, and she always looked young, chipper, and fantastic. She still does. She is fantastic. She drives her Buick SUV all over Wilmington, Delaware. She goes to visit the shut-ins. She goes to visit friends who are not doing too well. And she takes blessings to them. And she takes cookies to them. And she is a very desired friend. Well, she went to visit a friend, a neighbor, who is a painter. And in Wilmington, Delaware, there's many wonderful painters. And she looked at his painting and she said, wow, that's great. And he said, well, thank you very much. And so he gave her a card on which the painting was made, and he had printed it out. And he said, here, have a couple of these for yourself. And she says, I certainly will. She says, I believe in you. I think you're a fantastic artist. I think you're great. He says, wonderful. He said, you want the job? What job? Well, you want to be president of my fan club? Oh, you bet, she said. So now she's president of this artist's fan club. Now, I doubt she's going to go out and have any big meetings and fests and so forth, but at 85, president of a guy's fan club, and going stronger. Every day going stronger and stronger and stronger. She has been a student of the University of Healing. She's been my sister all my life, and she's been a beautiful, glorious lady. And all my life, everyone who meets her says she's just like my mom, a loving, gentle person with always a smile on her face, with always a twinkle in her eyes. And she's just a glorious, glorious being. And you know, I look at Ellen Jeremy, my associate here at the University of Healing, And she has a rather outstanding face. Her face looks like it's chiseled out of granite, but yet there's a softness to it. But it's so beautifully chiseled, it's so perfectly matched to every bit, her eyes, ears, nose, throat, all about her. It's just a glorious expression. And she twinkles it with a few little wrinkles here and there, saying that this is her smiles, and these are her joy lines, and so forth. And they are. And as I look at her, I see a most magnificent lady, much like my sister. And as my sister always has her hair perfectly coiffured, so Ellen always has her hair perfectly coiffured. Always everything in place, always dressing with good taste and looking like she just is a most glorious model of a mature person. And then I looked at her son, her grandson, the other day, her daughter's son, and her daughter has 5 children, and her son has 1 child. Well, this grandson is different from the other 4 children. This grandson has a uniqueness about him. The other 4 children are outstanding, fantastic, glorious in every possible way. But this young man, he was born with a face that would melt ice. It is a face that has such a gentleness about it, such a tenderness, caringness, lovingness, that you just feel good in his presence. You feel he is Mr. Purity, Mr. Integrity, Mr. Love personified. And then the other day as he was visiting, he saw my beard and he saw my mustache and he saw who I was and he thought, hey, that's a good thing to emulate. And he has a few teachers that he has called his special teachers at school, and he tries to say that I look like them. Well, he has this magic about him, this magic of gentleness and love and deep inner caring and introspective self. He has an integrity about him that just stands forth so beautifully. But what he chose to do the other day was to grow a beard. Not like mine, but like his. When I was 20 years old, and his hair is beautifully silky brown, and he looks just as handsome as can be. He's got the face of a magic person, and I think he gets it from his grandmother. He has the face of a very special being, of a very noble being. You cannot compare it to anything that exists because it is so unique. But when he grew his beard, I thought to myself, well, isn't that charming? His beautiful silky beard coming out and looking so glorious on his face. And he has a dark-haired beard, not blonde like mine was when I first tried it. And then the beard began to do beautiful things to him. Every day he began to look more wise and more mature and more competent than he ever looked before. He always looked good, but the beard just gave him that touch of maturity, that touch of wisdom. I guess that's the right word. The beard gave him the illusion, and the illusion is followed by the fact, but gave him the illusion of being a very wise young man. And he looked, with the beard, rather ageless, without an age. But the more I looked at him with this beard, and more I smiled at it, and then with his grandmother sitting next to them at the dining table, I compared the two, and I looked back and forth between the two, and I said, my goodness sakes, what a glorious face he has, just like his grandmother's. All the beauty, all the charm, all the majesty, all the wisdom, just like his grandmother. And then I thought, but he has something extra. His grandmother has magic about her, but he has something extra, and I haven't been able to figure it out yet. I'm going to study him a little longer. He'll be here a couple of days before he heads back to Switzerland after having been here for 3 months. But I'll study him a little longer. There's something special about him that I haven't put my finger on yet. And I think that that something special about him is that he has a deep inner integrity, a deep inner appreciation and love for himself and for everyone in this world that is not unique, but it is unique the way he expresses it. And he expresses it with such tenderness and such strength and such power. And he likes to call himself a farmer. And he loves working with the tractors and with animals and things like that. But he goes beyond that. And what that is, I don't know. But it's not a problem. It's certainly a wonderful blessing to him and to anyone in his world. And I'm so honored to be in his world. And I know all the monks here at the monastery are honored to be in his world and honored to have had him here for the period of time that he's been here. And we look forward to him coming back again for a visit. Who knows? One day he might even become a monk. But I rather doubt that because his personality, his outgoing character, would not allow him to tie himself up to one place at one time. And he's a universal soul. He doesn't know what problems are. He only knows what solutions are. He's a good illustration for us monks here at the monastery. For as we look at him and as we see him, we feel a little tinge of jealousy at the simplicity and the ease at which he does everything he does. We feel, gee, I wish I could do it as nicely, easily, and perfectly as he does. And then I say, but that's his gift. I have mine too. We spend a lot of time in our life looking at the gifts of others and admiring them and delighting in them, and that's all good. But I think the main thing we always want to remember is that it becomes a problem if we see the gift in others. But when we see the gift as being a reflection of who we are, then it becomes the solution to every circumstance in life. For as we look at others and admire their magic and their special quality, we have to remember that they are but a reflection of us. As wonderful as they may be, and as wonderful as we wish we could be like them, for truly we are like them. We are that magic person. We are that wonderful being. But this is not to take away from the glory of the other, nor is it to take away from the glory of ourselves. It is merely the recognition that as the generations in Ellen's family passed down their magnificent good looks and their dignity and charm, so Mattia, it will pass on from himself. Mattia Arnaldi, he'll pass that on to those in his world, all the people he meets, all the people that he greets, all the friends that he has. And he'll realize that his integrity, his honesty, his beauty, his goodness, his majesty is but a reflection of all of those around him. And all those around him are but a reflection of him. Our problems fade away when we handle them properly, when we pull them out by the tip instead of by the bigness of it, and it works so easy. And just like Mattia, he is learning to be himself and enjoy himself and delight in the world about him, just as every day his English improves little by little. One day he'll be speaking up a storm with us and understanding everything we're saying. But for the moment, he lives in a world of unfoldment, in a world of revelation, revealing constantly the majesty and the wisdom that he is. And it's a privilege to know him. Can we say that of everyone in our world? It's a privilege to know them? We can, when we first say, it's a privilege for me to know me and be me. Have a lovely day and think beautiful thoughts and let the solutions be your your journey and the problems be lost. Know that I love you. I love you. I love you.